Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, why don't you just say your name and your title with the show?
Hey, I'm Josh Dela Cruz, and I'm the host of Blues Clues and You on Nickelodeon.
And we're talking because I know our parents and kids can watch season one and season two on Nickelodeon. What's the latest? I know there's season three coming up and even renewed for four, right?
Yeah, this is really, really exciting. We just wrapped season three and we're beginning the early stages of season four as far as just planning. And so this is really, really exciting stuff. I am constantly amazed by how much higher the bar gets set after every season. Season three is going to be amazing. There's incredible music. We're introducing some characters. The show is evolving, and I can't wait for people to finally see that. But season two episodes are coming out now, I'm pumped.
Now, when did you? I mean, obviously, there's been two seasons, but what year did you actually take over? Because, and also, how do you tie into Steve and Joe, the original hosts? Are you're their cousin or something?
Yeah, that's right. So I started in, what is it now? It's 2021. It's been, what a year. I started in, I think, 2018. And then we aired last year in 2019. So 2 years ago in 2019. I come in, I'm Steve and Joe's cousin. In the first episode, I'm super, super nervous because I've never played Blue's Clues before, which is so fitting because I've never done this show before. I only know it from watching it with my little sister when we were younger. And it was so hugely important in our lives. I can still remember my aunt's pink rug that we sat on while we were watching it in the morning. And so like it's that first episode is essentially just Josh going on the ride in real life of what it is to be doing the show for the first time. And as we get more comfortable and as the episodes go on, it turns into this amazing ride of getting comfortable at home and being more and more playful. And not to mention that I got to work with Steve Burns and Donovan Patton, who played Steve and Joe in the show. So that was crazy.
Oh, you got to work with them in the first season?
Oh yeah, it was amazing. And Steve actually, he crashed my audition. One of my final screen tests, there were like drapes and everything set up for sound and for lighting. And I knew that there were producers and people behind it. I just didn't figure that he would be there. And then the director came over and he said, hey, do this. This is great. This is great. And he started to walk away. And it's like, oh, Steve, do you have any notes? And then out from behind the curtain, Steve emerges. And I'm like, oh, Steve. And then I realized that Steve. And it totally caught me off guard. I was super, super nervous because the guy who created like the job, the role, is watching me do the thing that he perfected. And as soon as he opened his mouth, I automatically felt like I belonged there. I felt empowered, just like as a kid, except that he does a lot of voiceover stuff. So the voice that he uses in the show is much deeper in real life. It's like he carries a subwoofer in his chest.
Pun not intended. Woofer, right?
Oh my god! Yeah, absolutely. That's what happens. Everything becomes a dog reference after working on the show inadvertently.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I love that story you said about sitting, you know, on the, you can even remember like what color rug carpet it was that you were watching the show. I remember watching it too, our siblings and stuff growing up, and it's just some of that stuff just burned in your brain, not just Blue with
absolutely.
But do you remember, I'm gonna, if you don't mind, do you remember some of the songs? Because I have two particular stuck in my head from when I was a kid. Can you sing the theme song? And can you sing Here's the Mail?
I can sing Here's the Mail for sure. However, the theme song, I you know what? This is so embarrassing. I can only remember mine.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I don't know if it was actually the theme song. I just remember... You know, never. You know what? I think the thing I remember is when they solve the mystery, right? It's like,
oh yeah,
yeah. We just figured out Blue's Clues.
We just figured out Blue's Clues. We just figured out Blue's Clues because we're really smart. Wow.
And since for radio, could you give me a little bit of Here's the Mail? Or is that not even in the new version?
So Here's the Mail, thankfully, is like evergreen. It is still in our show. It is so important. I remember when we were when I first got the sides, I was at Aladdin on Broadway. And the ensemble sits underneath the stage. We sit all together, and we're like a big family down there. And so whenever somebody's working on sides, somebody will usually help and with memorizing. And so I got the sides for Blue's Clues. And then I had my geek out moment. And then I asked my buddy who had his geek out moment. And as it got around that I was reading for this, we all started reminiscing about Blue's Clues, and literally somebody said, the mail song. And in the middle of the show, and this is happening, like the show is happening during all of this, and we're right underneath the stage, somebody breaks out into the mail time song. And literally everyone is singing, and this is like spanning so many different generations. It's so incredible because it has, this show has touched so many people. But yes, the male song is the same. It is untouched, and we sing it every show.
Can you, as cheesy as it sounds, could you give me a few bars of it? Because you already just sang that we just figured out Blue's Clues. And just so you know how this works, I'm going to have two radio pieces. So I can have one version with what you already sang, which is the we just figured out Blue's Clues. Hit me with a little bit of the mail song really quick.
Okay, here we go. Got to prepare. Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail!
You nailed it. You're just like the original guy, man.
Oh my gosh. High praise. Thank you, sir.
Now, you and I are totally geeking out over a kid's show that is burned into our brains, but let's pretend maybe some listeners, or maybe they're new parents, maybe, that never saw it, how, if they were living under a Blue's Clues rock. Remind them the general premise, how it's a mix of live action and animation, and how you guys are sort of solving mysteries with these clues.
Oh, absolutely. For all the new parents out there, for anyone that doesn't know about Blue's Clues and You, it was the most influential children's television show since Sesame Street, since Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And sidebar, one of our co-creators, Angela Santomero, genius, she and Fred Rogers worked together on Daniel Tiger, which is one of the most important shows that a kid can watch growing up and strengthening and developing their emotional intelligence.
Right. Now, spin off of Mr. Rogers.
Exactly. Absolutely. And Blue's Clues and You is so important because we not only have amazing characters, fun games, and it's silly, but everything that we do in the show, it has been vetted through layers and layers of research. Our childhood developmental research team, any note that we get on stage, anything that is written in our script and that we say, we go back to the research who have worked with kids and with teachers to make sure that everything that we're presenting is benefiting the kid to the best of its ability. So when you put on a show, not only will you and your kid laugh and have fun, but you can rest assured that everything that is going on is going to be helping your kid and helping them develop into the person that they will become. And it's so, so exciting. You get to play Blue's Clues. So every show we have to figure out together what it is Blue wants to do or how to help somebody. And she gives us three clues and we look for those clues throughout the entire show. And once we get all three clues, we sit down in our thinking chair and we think. And it's not just where I feed the kids the answer. I can't do anything without the kids yelling at the TV, telling me and helping me how to solve this clue. And so it's just so interactive. It's so fun. And you know, it was groundbreaking in 1992. Sorry, not in the 1990s, too. 1994. And it is just as groundbreaking today in 2021 because there's over 20 years of new research that we put into our show. And it's research, it's love, it's fun. And if you haven't checked out our show, please do. You can stream it on Nickelodeon, on our app on Noggin, on Nick Jr. That we have stuff on YouTube, on social media. It's my favorite job I've ever worked on. And I just love working with these people dearly.
Man, this is how this goes. I had totally forgotten something locked away in the recesses of my brain. And when you just said I sat in my thinking chair and think, my brain went, oh my God, think.
That's it. That's absolutely it. Yes.
Because right? Sing it with me. Because when we use our mind
to take a step at a time, we can do anything
that wanna do. Da, 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 da,
da. That's it.
Man. We got it. All right, cool. So it's on Nickelodeon and Noggin and all the things you mentioned. Is it true you're doing a podcast too?
Yeah. So this is what's amazing about the way that Nickelodeon, the way our show is taking advantage of the many different ways to consume content, right? There's so many, social media, YouTube, TV streaming. And now, like, how can we help parents in this time right now? They're having to wear so many hats at the same time, work, teach, play. How can we help them take the day down, help them and their kids relax, and then hopefully relax into a nice sleep so that they can get the energy that they need, that everyone can get the energy that they need to take the day, to seize the day the next day. And so we have done these bedtime stories with Blue, and you can listen to these podcasts on whichever, wherever you get your podcasts. And we essentially go through a story. Blue and I have story time, and it starts in this really, really lovely, exciting place. And with every single minute, it just goes quieter and quieter and quieter until Blue's asleep, and hopefully your kid's asleep at home as well.
I freaking love it. I mean, you have to have something in every medium now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit more about yourself. I know you're born in Dubai, but when did you come to the States, and, you know, how did you make your way to friggin' Nickelodeon?
Gosh, you know, it's so crazy because, so my parents are from the Philippines. They met in the Middle East, and that's where my older sister and I were born. And, you know, usually when I say, like, oh, I was born in Dubai, people are like, oh, you were born in Dubai. I'm like, it was a very different Dubai when I was born. My parents went there. They went back for a reunion, like a work friends reunion, maybe 8 years ago. And I asked them, oh, how was it? And they're like, oh, it's so different. I was like, did you see the where our apartment used to be? And I remember growing up, we left there when I was two. I remember, like, I didn't see grass until I got to the States. That's like what my memory is. And I'm sure there was some grass, but I just remember a lot of sand and a lot of like earth tones. And my parents, when I asked them about our apartments, they're like, oh no, there's a skyscraper there now. And I remember thinking, wow, it's so crazy how fast things change. But my family and I, we immigrated to New York, where my mom's hospital that she just recently retired from last year was sponsoring her and sponsoring us. So we lived in Yonkers for a good, I want to say like 4 years, long enough that my older sister developed this amazing Yonkers accent. And there's some really, really cute videos of her speaking. And it's just so different from the way that she speaks now because she's lived most of her life in New Jersey. We've lived most of our lives in New Jersey. So we moved from there to New Jersey, where we were like maybe one of the small handful of Asian families there. But it was such a welcoming town that we were able to thrive. And that's kind of where I found theater. I had no aspirations of becoming an actor, really. I watched a lot of TV, and I think my mom jinxed it because she was like, yeah, you watch so much TV, you should just become an actor. And I told her, I was like, I'm going to be a lawyer. And that maybe I'll play a lawyer in one day. Right. But my older sister was in high school, and she was like, you're coming to the high school next year, you're auditioning for the musical. And I said, okay, yeah, sure. And I got into the musical, and it was great. I met friends. Still no aspirations on becoming an actor. And then until I got a scholarship to go to Paper Mill Playhouse, it's a regional theater in New Jersey. It's in Millburn, New Jersey. It's an amazing theater. If you have a chance to go, it's incredible. You know, once this is all over, I cannot wait to sit in the theater and share the experience with people again, because it's such a different experience than going to a movie or even sitting at home watching a show. And so after that, that's when I realized, oh, who are all these crazy kids that know that this is what they want to do for the rest of their lives? And I went home, and I was becoming a senior in high school. So this is the summer before my senior year, when people are pretty much decided on what they're doing.
Right.
And I go to my mom, and she's like, what's wrong? Are you okay? Because I'm like really like thoughtful. I'm trying to decide. And I said, I think I want to be an actor. And she goes, oh. And, you know, I was so lucky because they were incredibly supportive. They were terrified, as every parent should be. But they were incredibly supportive. I was so lucky. And more so than that, they asked questions. They asked for help, which is something that I need to remember to do, you know, whenever I feel overwhelmed or whenever I have a question. And they asked my teachers, they talked to my teachers, and they said, you know, Josh is a really, really smart kid. He's really, really talented. And if there were ever a time to do it, it's today. It's now. And thankfully that's what happened. I went to Montclair State University in New Jersey. I went to a state school where I met my wife. We've been together ever since. And I was working in theater, and I was with Aladdin on Broadway for 5 years.
And the King and I too, right?
Oh, and the King and I. So my first job, but the first job I ever had was out of college. I was fortunate enough to get my union card through that show. And I did The King and I with Lou Diamond Phillips and Rachel Bay Jones in Kansas City, Missouri at the Starlight Theater. And that was when I realized, like, oh, dang, this is real. This is not like a joke. And it's not that it was ever a joke, but I had to pinch myself because I was able to watch Lou and Rachel work, and seeing them work together, that was like, oh yeah, this is what I want to do. So I was able to do The King and I, and from there I met the Asian theater community, which was so important in finding my identity, figuring out who I am as an actor. Because when I graduated from college, all I ever wanted to be was ethnically ambiguous, which is problematic, especially when I was going into auditions thinking to myself, okay, just don't look Asian, don't look Asian, don't look Asian. You know, trying to fit into a box that was not made for me. And so, like, as an actor, you're supposed to be open, and you're supposed to be honest, and you're supposed to be vulnerable. How are you supposed to do that if you're not being honest with yourself? And so I was so fortunate to come into that Asian theater community and be so supported and feel so empowered to be myself, that when I unlocked that, it was like I unlocked a superpower and things just started to unfold for me. And that's when Here Lies Love happened at the Public Theater, the David Byrne musical that was about the Imelda Marcos regime in the Philippines. And then from there, it was Aladdin. And from there, Blue's Clues and You. Like, I got that audition from my agent, and I never clocked it. I never clocked it in a million years. A, because the show is so important to me, and it's huge. And I didn't think that I would ever be like related to the show in any capacity. And then to do so as a Filipino American, that is something that is so, I'm so honored that I get to share in that history. And not only that, share in that diversity, the diversity of the show, where I'll get texts from friends of friends, or I'll get messages saying, hey, my kid pointed at the screen and said, he looks like me. And that is so important, because I never felt that as a kid, not in a way that I had, identified with, you know, just to be me, be myself, and then to be able to celebrate my heritage. In season two, the world met my Lola, which is my grandmother. And, you know, it's so incredible that now that word is coming into the American lexicon. The same way when I grew up, I knew that Nonna meant grandmother for an Italian family. And it's so important. The diversity and the visibility is so important, especially today. And I'm just so fortunate that even in the midst of all of this craziness and all of this violence, that we are at a point where we don't feel like we have to blend in, that we can be ourselves. And, you know, I'm just so, so proud, and I'm so honored to be a part of this show and build on this tradition.
Well, thank you so much, man, for being so open and sharing that such a personal story of your own personal, you know, journey of discovery of who you are. I guess we could say you just figured out you.
No, that's it. That's exactly it. You know, I laugh all the time because, you know, I easily get overwhelmed. And I find that if I just use the advice that if I practice what I preach and I take a step at a time, I can do anything that I want to do. You know, just use your mind, take a step at a time, and then pause. If I just take a pause, everything will work out. And, you know, the show has been a gift in so many ways.
Thanks, man. Awesome. Well, well, everyone check out Blue's Clues and you on Nickelodeon. But before we run, give me a plug. You said that you're on Cameo now too during the pandemic. Maybe another way people can check you out during quarantine.
Yes, absolutely. You can find everything about me on Cameo. If you visit my Instagram, it's Josh. It's at it's Josh De La Cruz, and I'm on Cameo there. I would love to connect with you and send you a personalized greeting. All of the proceeds will go to a different charity every month. So this is something where we can help each other and help, you know, bring some cheer and bring some aid to people and organizations that are in need to help more people. So this is, you know, like, I hope to hear from you and to see you. And I hope to be able to be a part of your special day in any way. So check me out at It's Josh De La Cruz on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you taking the time out, making ours a special day. We appreciate it, man. It's season two is streaming now. Season three is coming up, and then season four you just renewed. So good luck with all the filming, man. It's a great show, and I'm glad that you're carrying on the legacy.
Thank you so much, Jason. Thanks for having me.